Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined today by the faithful traveler, Diana Von Glahn. She is putting out her new DVD called A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land, and I'm so excited to bring Diana to you today. Diana, welcome to the show.
Hi, Allison. Thank you for having me.
It is so much fun to spend time speaking with Diana Von Glahn, again, the faithful traveler. I am a huge fangirl. I always tell the story because I think it's just worthy of telling. But I actually was going to pull out the DVD to see what year it was, but I thought, Diana will know. Mm-hmm. When you put out your first DVD, I saw it on EWTN. They broadcast it, and I instantly just was head over heels what you were doing, the places you were showing. And I sent you a fan email.
I still have it.
You do not.
I do.
That is hysterical. I don't even want to know what goofy things I said to you.
No, you were awesome. That was, what, like 2010?
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Easily.
6 years ago.
6 years ago. Crazy stuff. But I had no idea. I had actually, that's not true. I had just started. 2009, I launched Reconciled to You Ministries. So what was the name of that DVD?
Originally it was just The Faithful Traveler because we didn't know if there would be a second series. So we have since changed its name to The Faithful Traveler in the United States, East Coast Shrines, because we're hoping that there will eventually be a West Coast Shrines and a Southern Shrines and a, you know, all sorts of mountain shrines.
Well, since I am still quite a fangirl, I'm kind of hoping for all of those come to fruition. But I was thrilled that you sent me and allowed me to watch A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land before its release. I watched it twice.
You're so awesome.
Oh, it's so awesome. It just brought back all those memories of sitting glued to the television back in the EWTN days of, what is this? Who is this woman? And why is she showing me these great places? How do I get to these great places?
That's awesome. That's what we hope people will feel, you know. Who is this chick on my TV?
And the other thing that's really great, before that, I hadn't really met anybody like you, Diana, who is just herself. Like, you know, travel shows are so much fun, and you took that fun from the Travel Channel and brought it to the Catholic Channel. I'm like, hey, wait a minute, Catholics aren't fun. They don't laugh. Who is this woman?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When my show was inspired by Samantha Brown on the Travel Show, Travel Channel. She is this perky young blonde. Well, she's about my age, but she's really funny. And, you know, I would watch her and I would be like, oh, I'm not funny like that. You know, and so for a really long time, I was like, why can't I be funny? But then eventually I was like, you know what? I can be me. And that's about as good as it gets. You know?
And so, I would like to say I find you very funny.
Well, thank you. You know, I'm not good with coming up with jokes, you know, but it's like, whatever. Like, I find life to be funny. And so I laugh at life, you know.
When we were talking right before we went on air, that one of my favorite sequences to the new A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land is the opening sequence, which I counted, I actually got to see six times. And the line that is, you're on the top of a camel, and you point, you know, to your right, and you say, this is the Holy Land. And then a few seconds later, you point down and you go, and this is a camel.
Yes, that was one of the grace moments that, you know, my Holy Spirit, he's a good improviser.
That's funny stuff.
Well, you know, and for those of you guys who, so the concept of the papal pilgrimage in the Holy Land, it's going to be broadcast soon. In fact, it already started being broadcast on Net TV in New York, in the New York area. They're going to be broadcasting it all the month of March. EWTN is going to broadcast it in May. Catholic TV will broadcast it. We're not sure of those dates yet. But all of these dates will be posted on our website, www.thefaithfultraveler.com. So for those of you who don't know what Allison's talking about, if you go to our website, there is actually a clip of the opening sequence. And I think part of it is when I'm on this camel and we're overlooking, what are we overlooking? Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the landscape of Jerusalem, and I got on a camel, and, you know, so, yeah, it was fun.
It's hysterical. You know, it's six times later, and it still makes me laugh. It's like that commercial that the old woman with putting the stuff all over the wall and saying, look, it's my, you know, my wall. And she's like, that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
That commercial is hilarious.
It's great.
I'm unfriending you.
Yeah. That's not how it works. I love that. How many times have you really in real life wanted to unfriend somebody?
I know, right? You know, or mute them.
Yeah.
I pushed the mute button to you.
It's so funny. Well, I'm glad that that clip is available for people to see, because I think it really gives a good flavor. Actually, the whole clip does, gives a great flavor to what you have to offer in your series about travel and encountering the sacred in the places that we go. I loved it when you did the United States, and for one, because I'm not a big traveling person, and I thought, these are places I can go.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's, you know, I mean, this series is unusual for the faithful traveler. You know, our first series, like you said, was based in the United States because, we thought, you know, we wanted to do a travel show that went to Catholic places. And of course, travel is expensive and producing a television series is expensive. So, you know, since we were paying for the whole thing, we stayed local.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're here in the Philadelphia area. There are 5 shrines in the Philadelphia area. There are a whole bunch in D.C., a whole bunch in New York, a whole bunch, you know. So we drove to places. And the purpose was to tell people, look, you can go on pilgrimage. You don't have to go to the Holy Land. You don't have to go to Rome. You don't have to go to Europe. You can go here in the United States. And that was the purpose of that show. When we started planning our second series, you know, it would require that we actually flew places, and it would require more time, and of course it would require more money. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have any kind of sponsors, and we didn't have anybody really kind of enabling us financially to do that. So we were kind of bummed thinking that the show was going to end. And then we were invited to go on the ultimate pilgrimage, which is the Holy Land, you know. And I mean, like, here I am praying, like, Jesus, please, I want to go to Chicago. And he's like, how about you go to Holy Land? You know, I'm like, okay, I'll do that. So
I love that. You know, we dream these little tiny dreams, and the Lord's like, no, I have a bigger dream for you. We're talking today with Diana Von Klon, the faithful traveler, and we're talking about going to the Holy Land. So you're dreaming about this little trip to Chicago, and God sends you to the Holy Land, not just once.
Yeah, 3 times.
3 times. That is so. This one, this particular one, the papal pilgrimage in the Holy Land, brought you to 3 different locations. Correct?
That's right. The purpose of this show and of that trip was to film parts of Pope Francis's pilgrimage to the Holy Land in May of 2014, during which he commemorated the 50th anniversary of the original meeting of Pope Paul VI and Patriarch. Patriarch Athenagoras, the Eastern Orthodox Patriarch. And of course, you know, in May 2014, Pope Francis met with Patriarch Bartholomeos, which I love that name, Bartholomew.
Me too.
So we were invited to film as much of it as we could. We didn't get to go to everything, but we got to go to some of the some of his events. And then when we weren't, you know, following him around, then we were interviewing locals, and we were visiting some of the places where he and his predecessor popes visited on their pilgrimages. So, you know, a lot of people don't know that since St. Peter left the Holy Land, the first pope to go back to the Holy Land was Pope Paul VI. And, you know, no pope had been to the Holy Land since then. And then after Paul VI, Pope St. John Paul II went, Pope Benedict XVI went, and then Pope Francis went. So only 4 popes, you know, since Peter left. It's really kind of crazy.
That was very, I love when you give the history. I love your voiceovers where you give such rich history, and you really engage in my mind when I'm watching these. Like, not only the images are they beautiful and draw you into these places, but then the history that you obviously meticulously research. You're so good at giving us this backstory. I had no idea that Pope Paul VI was the first to go.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, and when I'm creating these shows, like a lot of what I put into the script are things that I wanted to know. You know, like when I was out there, I didn't understand the significance of this. Like, what does this mean? What's the big deal? You know, mm-hmm. what is the big deal about this pilgrimage, you know? And then you start doing some research and you're like, oh my gosh, this is huge. Yeah. You know, so, and you know, we only scratched the surface of it, but yeah, it is a fascinating history, and it is there are two different aspects of what we talk about in the trip. You know, of course there's the aspect of the reunification of the Eastern and the Western churches, and then there's also the reunification of the Holy Land in and of itself. You know, everybody knows that Palestine and Israel are constantly kind of pushing each other, and you know, so Pope Francis's visit was a prayer for reunification, that they may be one, which is the prayer that Jesus prayed during the Last Supper to his Father. And of course, it includes all of us. You know, it includes the churches, and it includes, you know, the people of the Holy Land, that he wants us all to be one, children of God under God the Father. So it's really awesome.
It is really awesome. And I thought you did a wonderful job. You went to Jordan, Bethlehem, and Israel. Correct.
Yeah. And that was pretty much the Holy Father was in Pope Francis was in the Holy Land very few days. I think he was there maybe 3 or 4 days. Pope St. John Paul II was there longer, and Pope Benedict was there longer as well. But and that's basically the itinerary of Pope Francis. He started off just like every other pope, started off in Jordan, which is significant because, you know, so much of the Old Testament happened in Jordan. The beginning of Christ's ministry started in Jordan, you know, at the baptism of the River Jordan. So the first episode is all on Jordan. There are many sacred sites there that we were blessed to visit. And then the second episode was in Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. And then the third episode was in Israel, in Jerusalem, where Jesus, you know, spent the rest of his life, his ministry, and where he was crucified, died, and resurrected.
And when we come back from these messages, we're going to go into each one separately, because I have so many questions about the beautiful places that you visited. My guest today is Diana von Glahn, the faithful traveler. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined today by the faithful traveler, Diana von Glahn, and she's talking about her new show, the series, three-part series, A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land. So excited to bring this to you today. Diana, the first place you went was Jordan. And you begin by addressing the East and West Church, and you kind of talked a little bit about that in the first segment.
Right.
You were there with Pope Francis. Well, you were not there with Pope Francis, but you were at the same time. Just a little clarification on how you were you following him, or were you stalking the Pope?
Right. I really wanted to call the series Stalking Pope Francis, but I don't think that would have gone over very well.
That's awesome. The Swiss Guard might have a little problem with that, but I think that's perfect.
I know, right? No, essentially what happened was, I mean, because, you know, Pope Francis had his own goals for his pilgrimage. You know, he went there, not only did he meet dignitaries and, you know, important people, but he also met with a lot of refugees and people who were suffering, because, you know, that's Pope Francis, that's what he does. We, however, were there to produce a television show, and so we had to get footage. So we got there actually like a week before he did. Maybe not a week, like maybe a few days before. And we started off in Nazareth, actually, filmed in Nazareth a day or two. And then we crossed the border to go to Jordan. Mm-hmm. And we just filmed a little bit. You know, we started up at Qais, which is a ruined city that's believed to be where Jesus expelled the demons into the swine. And then we drove down to Amman. And now, as it happened, we were supposed to be in Jordan to film the Papal Mass at Amman Stadium. But we found out, and this is the funny thing, there's always something that happens, not only on pilgrimage, but when you're producing a television show, there's always something that happens. Yeah. We were a three-man crew. It was me, my friend Patrick, and my friend Andy. And we were told that the border from Jordan to Israel was going to close at noon the day that Pope Francis was coming into Jordan. So what it would have meant is if we had gone to the Mass and then gone to film the Holy Father at the River Jordan, which we were given permission to do, we would not have been able to cross the border to go into Bethlehem to film the Mass, which we had access to. So we actually had to decide. It was a real bummer. We had to decide what we wanted to do, and so we ended up leaving Jordan the day before the Pope got there, because otherwise we would have been stuck, you know.
Yeah, well, having watched all three parts, I can't imagine that anything, I mean, you did a great job covering that with the images that you had were beautiful. I like the way that you put that together so that it wasn't left out of the series, but yet I thought you had plenty of other wonderful footage that I didn't even realize.
Yeah. It's funny. That's one of the hardest things. You know, like I said, this series is unusual for us because normally we just do travel shows. You know, we go to places and we tell you what's there. But this was following an event, and we don't normally do that. And I don't know that I ever will again, because it was really insane. It was awesome, but it was really crazy. You know, but the thing is that in order to film the Pope, there are a lot of hoops that you need to jump through, and they don't allow just every camera to go with the Pope, you know, because if they did, he would be surrounded by cameras, and he really hates that, and it really takes away from the sacredness of the moment. So, so they really only allow pool cameras to go in. Fortunately, the Jordanian Tourism Board, who sponsored our trip to Jordan, provided us with footage of the Pope's visit there, footage and photographs. Yeah. And then, you know, when we were in Jerusalem, when we were in Bethlehem, we actually got to go to the Papal Mass, which was awesome. And then when we were in Jerusalem, we didn't get to go to everything. So, you know, we got pictures.
Yeah. So. The Papal Mass that you did get to go to, and then you were interviewing the local that was there, and then also people from India that had come. I could feel the excitement. I wanted to be there with all of you. Like just the electricity in the air was amazing.
It really was. In fact, there's a part in the Papal Mass where, you know, everybody sees the Pope coming in the Jumbotron. It's not really even a Jumbotron. It's like a little screen, you know, but like they see the Pope and there's this guy yelling, you know, here comes the Pope's car. Here comes the Pope. Viva el Papa. And every time, I'm not lying to you, every time that I watch that when I was editing or even when I watch it, it makes me cry because the emotion in his voice, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so exciting. You know, the crazy thing is that I was also able to, because I live here in the Philadelphia suburbs, I was able to attend the World Meeting of Families, and it was just, it was a bigger spectacle by like 20, but let me tell you, the excitement in Bethlehem was electric. At the World Meeting of Families, it was cool, but like Bethlehem, it was like I've never in my life experienced something so amazing,
and that came across in the footage. I got choked up myself watching it. I felt like I was there, and he just, that man's voice is just, you could just feel his love for his faith, for the Pope. Papa Francisco is just the bomb. He really is.
So
he's
awesome.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great. The other person that you had so many wonderful interviews, but the Father Nabil Haddad.
He's so awesome. Yeah.
He was fabulous.
He is a sweetheart. Father Nabil is the founder of the Jordanian Interfaith Coexistence Research Center, and he is a Greek Melkite Catholic priest. So it's Orthodox, but it's in alignment with the Catholic Church. And so we met him. We got to go to Mass with him for, it was actually an Easter Mass that we were blessed to attend.
Wow.
And he's such a sweetheart. He's just really a fantastic man. And he is very active in, you know, bringing Muslims and Christians together in Jordan. So Jordan is unique in the Middle East because the royal family led by King Abdullah II of Jordan and his beautiful wife, Queen Rania. And I mean, seriously, I cannot say her name without saying beautiful because she's just gorgeous, not only on the outside, but on the inside. You know, they really care very deeply about, you know, bringing Christians and Muslims together in unity and in peace. And, you know, so Jordan was such an amazing place. We all loved being there and the people were just fantastic. So yeah, it's I can't say anything bad about Jordan. It's such a beautiful place.
One of the quotes that I wrote down from Father Haddad was, courage, truthfulness, fraternity can lead to peace, and that protects both me and my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
That gives me goosebumps just to repeat it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, if you think about it, if you're at peace with your neighbor, why would you want to hurt him? Why would he want to hurt you?
Yeah.
You know?
Beautiful messages of peace, again, throughout the whole thing, because that was Pope Francis's mission there, was the peace that you did a really great job, too, of bringing that to the forefront. Some place that you visited that I had not realized had kind of fallen off the pilgrimage map, so to speak, was the site of Jesus's baptism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's called Bethany Beyond the Jordan. And, you know, it was interesting being there because when we filmed our first Holy Land series, we actually went to a baptismal site called Yardanit, which is on the Israeli side. The Jordan River is actually the delineation point of Jordan and Israel. So Israel's on one side, Jordan's on the other. But since having been there in 2010, I found out that, you know, and when we filmed that first series, I didn't know that people actually knew where Jesus was baptized. Like, it was always kind of like well, we don't really know where Jesus was baptized, somewhere in the Jordan, you know. No, now we know. And I was blessed to meet, his name is Rustam Mikjan, he's an archaeologist and he's a Catholic, and he works at the Bethany Beyond the Jordan site. And he gave us a tour, and he told me why we know, number one, that this is exactly where Jesus was baptized, and why it was lost to history. You know, and that's something that I think is very important for us today, because the reason that people forgot where Jesus was baptized is because Christians stopped going to and stopped living in the Holy Land during, you know, during the time of the Crusades and during the time when Muslims took over the land. It was too dangerous for Christian pilgrims to go to the Holy Land, and so they didn't go. And so it stopped being a site of pilgrimage, and people forgot about it. And eventually they remembered it when they found a map. But it's important for me because I think today we're in that place where it could happen again.
Yeah.
You know, we're in that place where Christians are not going to the Holy Land because they're afraid, and Christians are leaving the Holy Land because they no longer have jobs and they no longer have opportunities. And so what's going to happen? Is it going to happen that there are no longer Christians living in the land that Jesus was born and died and resurrected? Is that going to happen? Like, that frightens me.
Yeah, I was just going to use the same words. That is such a frightening thought.
Yeah.
But, you know, you proved it again through this series and in talking with you and being there. And I think it's a really important message to say again. It is safe. You are their bread and butter. They're going to take care of you. And it's, you will never, I'm almost ready, Diana. I'm almost ready to make the, talking today with Diana von Glahn, the faithful traveler. We're talking about her new series, A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land. Almost ready. Not quite, but getting there.
You will go when God wants you to go. You know, he's preparing you. He's basting you.
That's a good way of putting it. But there's so many different places throughout the series that people would say, you will never pray the same way again. You'll never pray the rosary the same way again. You'll never read the scriptures the same way again. And that is the part that has really been tugging at my heart to bring me there.
Yeah, it's true.
The images and the places that our Lord himself.
Yeah. Well, and recently, you know, you were reading Denise Bossert's book about Ein Karim, about the visitation.
Yeah.
And, you know, Denise was there. I actually met her in the Holy Land, and she's an amazing person. And she was so moved by the Holy Land that after being there just once, she said, I want to come back here again and again and again. And, you know, and she's going to. I know she is, because she's that kind of person, you know. But, like, it affects you in more ways than one, you know. And, I mean, talking about Jordan, one of the places that we visit is Mount Nebo, which is...
I'm going to have to put that thought on hold for just a moment, because it's actually time already. Time flies talking to you, Diana, to go to another commercial break, and we'll talk about Mount Nebo. I'm thinking of the fish. No, it's not Mount Nemo. But we'll talk about that when we come back. We're speaking today with Diana Von Glon, the Faithful Traveler, and you're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. I'm joined today by Diana Von Glon. She is known as the Faithful Traveler. You can learn more about Diana at thefaithfultraveler.com. And I highly recommend heading over there. Been a fangirl since, what, 2010-ish? literally a fangirl, because I sent fan mail to Diana. I can't believe I admit that. But
hey, we've all done it.
I think you're the only person I've ever done that to.
Aww.
Maybe you and the lead singer to Def Leppard.
I feel special.
Yeah. You and Joe Elliott. Though I think mine might have been a marriage proposal to him. But I could say a lot changed between 1980-something and 2010.
Nice.
A lot changed. We're talking with Diana today about her new series, A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land. And we left off with you getting ready to tell us about a place that you went to visit that I called Mount Nemo, but I was totally wrong.
Yes, no, Mount Nebo, Mount Nemo. Nemo is my dog. Nebo is the mountain. This is where Moses went and saw the Promised Land, and that is also where he died and where he was buried, although we don't know where he is buried.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I mean, one of the reasons why I brought it up is because, you know, aside from the fact that I met one of my absolute favorite people there, which is Father Fergus Clark, who is a Franciscan priest. For the people who saw my first series in the Holy Land might remember that I interviewed him when he was at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, but now he's at Mount Nebo, and he is this Irish priest, and he's just awesome, and he's got the great Irish brogue, and he's very well spoken. And one of the things that he said was that, you know, Mount Nebo is a great place. It's a great reminder that, you know, you might be standing on Mount Nebo and looking out towards the Promised Land, and you can't see it because of there's haze or whatever, but you know it's there. It's just like God's love for us. You know, you can't see God's love for us. You can't see God, but you know he's there, and you have to believe it because you've seen him in action. You know what I'm saying? And so that's one of the great things about being in the Holy Land, is that the places not only touch us and connect us to these amazing historical and biblical stories that are not stories, they're events that happen in real life, but they connect to our spiritual lives as well, you know, and they bring us closer to God in the sense that we are understanding them better and we're internalizing them. And when we go home and we pray and we think about these things, you know, we're in Lent right now, you know, and we think about, you know, being in the desert, like the Israelites were in the desert before they got to Mount Nebo, you know, it's so much more real for us after having been in the Holy Land.
And I guess it's a good time for us to talk about, again, I'm talking this morning with Diana Von Glon, the Faithful Traveler, a papal pilgrimage in the Holy Land. And I guess it's a good time for us to talk about the difference between a trip to the Holy Land and a pilgrimage.
Yeah, totally. You know, I can't even imagine taking just a trip to the Holy Land. I'm the kind of traveler that I always incorporate Catholic things in everything I do anyway. So,
yeah, me too.
You know, that's not to say that there aren't awesome touristy things to do in Israel. You know, there's some great food out there. You know, Israel, Jordan, you know, all of the Holy Land, there's awesome food. The people are fantastic. There are some really great historical sites. But this is the land where our faith was born. Mm-hmm. You know, this is where God spoke to his people. This is where the promise was made, and the new promise was made, the new covenant. You know, I mean, like... So going to the Holy Land on pilgrimage, you know, for me, it means attending Mass, praying at these sacred sites, you know, really kind of thinking about what happened here. And, you know, when you think about what happened here, like if you go to Mount Nebo in Jordan, or if you go to, you know, the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, or you go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Israel or in Jerusalem, you know, you think about it from a historical perspective, but there's no way that you cannot not think about it from a spiritual perspective, in the sense that what happened here affected us, in the sense that we are saved because of what happened here. There's nothing more important than that, you know? So, you know, that's why I always marvel when people say they don't want to go to the Holy Land, because it's like, you know, yeah, you know, you go to Rome and it's kind of cool to see, like, where, you know, where Caesar was killed, or, you know, it's cool to walk in the footsteps of saints, you know, but you think, like, you could actually touch the rock that held Jesus's cross in Jerusalem. You can kiss the star that was placed atop the place where Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You know, wow. You can stand on the mountain where Moses saw the promised land and look out and see the same land in Jordan. And you can put your feet in the River Jordan where Jesus was baptized. I mean, it's like, what is better than that?
Yeah. What's not to want to do there?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. So the next place, again, we're talking today with Diana von Glahn, the faithful traveler, a papal pilgrimage in the Holy Land. And the next holy place you went to, speaking of Jesus, was Bethlehem.
Yep, baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus.
Yeah, Bethlehem is awesome. Bethlehem is in Palestine. It's in the Palestinian territories. And you know, it gave me a wonderful, well, Jordan did too, gave me a great opportunity to practice and learn some Arabic, which I think is a beautiful language.
You definitely rock it. Not that I know what it's supposed to sound like, but I really love when you pronounce those.
It's kind of funny. There's a part in the Jordanian episode where I actually say to a guy who's making what I call Arabic tortillas, yes. He's making these things, and I say to him, "Do you speak English?" in Arabic, and he, like, you can see his eyes kind of bug out a little bit. He's like, "Oh my gosh, this white girl's talking to me like in Arabic. What the heck?" You know. So, and everywhere I went, you know, even if you just say hi to people or thank you or whatever, they're always like, "Oh my gosh, you're so wonderful!" Like, they're so happy. You know, this American is speaking my language.
I have to say that the tortilla guy was really cute.
Oh, he was. And he was nice,
super cute.
Too. He was very nice.
Thanks for the Holy Land eye candy, just saying.
It was great. Well, you know, it was funny too, because I was trying to speak the language. Everywhere I went, the men would say some really nice things to me. So, like, one guy said that I was more beautiful than all the flowers in the earth. And my tour guide, Raed, he was like, "You guys need to stop blowing this girl's head up." Like, seriously.
That's so sweet.
And I would just be like, I would just be happy because I understood them. I'd be like, "I know what you said," you know.
Oh, wow.
It was so fun. Yeah. But so Bethlehem, they also speak Arabic. I mean, they speak Arabic and Hebrew in pretty much all of the places, because, you know, they're so close together. Yeah. But Bethlehem is a wonderful place. There are many sacred sites there that a lot of people don't realize, and we cover some of them. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Church of the Nativity was built over the spot where it's believed Jesus was born.
That's crazy stuff.
Yeah.
That just,
yeah.
Watching everybody kind of crawl up to that and kiss it, and just, yeah. It's overwhelming to even imagine.
Yeah.
Even
it's awesome.
Even close. Even, look, you know, you're on the same soil somewhere, you know? That's pretty amazing.
It's there somewhere, you know? And you think, like, we go to the Milk Grotto, which is a cave where it's believed that Mary was breastfeeding the baby Jesus, and a drop of her blood fell to the ground, and it changed the color of the cave into white stone where it was previously red. So that's pretty awesome. We go to Shepherd's Field, where, you know, the herald angels sang to the shepherds that the baby Jesus was born. And we visit the caves of St. Jerome, because, you know, St. Jerome went to Bethlehem to live, where he was translating the Vulgate Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So that was awesome. But then one of the things that we did, of course, we attend the Bethlehem Mass, which, you know, Pope Francis celebrated Mass at Manger Square, which is just a square outside of the Church of the Nativity. It's where, you know, they celebrate a lot of masses there. And, you know, so that was really exciting. And then after the mass, the Pope met with some families who were suffering, you know, because of the separation, the wall of separation. And so since we, you know, like I said in the show, we weren't invited to that meeting. So we met with our own family. And we had some awesome food and, you know, and so it's really, it's such, and you know, that's one of the things that I love about going on pilgrimage. You know, we last April, I took a group of pilgrims to the Holy Land, and Select International Tours, which is the company that runs my pilgrimages, they do something called Sharing the Bread, and they enable pilgrims to actually go and have dinner with families, Christian families in Bethlehem.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And every pilgrim that I have ever met who's done it has said it's their favorite part of the pilgrimage. And if you think these people are visiting the Sea of Galilee, the Church of the Sepulchre, you know, they're going to all these places where Jesus was resurrected, where he died, you know, where he walked on water, and yet their favorite part was meeting Christian families. You know,
and the family that you went to visit, they seem so humble and sweet. And she looked like she was a really good cook.
She's
like,
awesome.
That food looked phenomenal. It's hard for me. I'm not one of those people who takes Instagram photos of all my food. I think it's really hard to make food look yummy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was getting a little godly jealous at your lunch there.
It was very good. We actually had dinner with Mike and Nellie Salmon and their family. And it was funny because at one point I was talking to Faraz and Stephanie, their kids. And I said, you guys, what's your favorite thing that your mom cooks? And they were like, everything.
That's awesome.
I was like, Nellie, either you are like the best mom in the world because your kids love so much, or you're the best cook in the world, or maybe both, you know? So yeah, it was really fun.
And they owned a shop too, didn't they? Was he the shop owner that you interviewed before that?
No, we went to the Kando store, which is owned by Shibley Kando, who we also interviewed in our first series. But Shibley is the grandson of Iskander Shaheen Kando, who was instrumental in bringing the Dead Sea Scrolls to the attention of the world.
Oh,
yeah.
Neat.
And so they have a gift store in Bethlehem. And it's actually, lucky for Shibley, it's right across the street where Pope Francis stopped. So like everybody like goes and takes
fabulous
pictures. And then they go to the Kando store. But like, and they actually have one of the original urns that they found the Dead Sea Scrolls at Shibley's store, at the Kando store. So it's really, not only is it a cool place to shop, because also the stuff that they sell are made by Christian families, and some of the money goes back to the Christian family. So it's like a co-op, which is awesome. You know, so not only are you get to shop, you get to buy cool souvenirs, but you're also helping the Christians in Palestine, in Bethlehem, you know, by buying their things. You're giving them a way to earn money so that they can stay in their homes, you know.
That is so important. We have someone that comes every year to our parish, and I'm always from the Holy Land, and I always make sure I buy something. We're talking today with Diana von Glahn, the faithful traveler, and my goodness, we're at the end of our third segment. I hope you stay tuned for more with Diana von Glahn. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined today by Diana von Glahn. She is the Faithful Traveler. You can learn more on thefaithfultraveler.com. And we're talking today about her new series, A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land. And the next place you went to, Diana, was Israel. Mm-hmm. And there you have an interview with, I think, probably the sweetest person I've not yet met in my life. His name was Habib.
Yes, my dear friend Habib Karim. I met Habib online. He actually read one of my blog posts on CatholicSpiritualDirection.com and about Nazareth. And he was like, oh, if you come here, I would love to meet you. And I was like, hey, I'm coming to film. You want to meet? So he's awesome. He is a native Nazarean. And he is one of the sweetest, holiest people that I have ever met. And as is his wife, Gosaina. His family is also equally amazing. I mean, I'm not lying to you when I say I had dinner at their home and I met all but one of their children. And then they have one in heaven. So I didn't get to meet him, but, and I felt like I was having dinner with St. Teresa's family.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh, yeah.
Like they all felt like they were so full of love and holiness. And I was like, I just felt so unworthy being with them, but they're so loving. And so it was so fun because I went back to the Holy Land this last April and I was blessed to have dinner with them again. And I was so excited because I taught Habib how to make salsa.
That's awesome.
He was so excited because you know, he lived in California for a little while.
Yeah.
And so he, and I told him, I was like, Habib, I'll teach you how to make real Mexican salsa. So I sat there while his daughter braided my hair and he made the hottest salsa I think he's ever had.
Well, he told a story about where he goes to his church is.
It's the Basilica of the Annunciation. Yeah.
And he talked about our Blessed Mother in such a way that at the end of the interview, you give him a giant hug. And at that point, if you hadn't hugged him, I probably would have reached through the screen and hugged him for you. It was just so touching.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He really is awesome. His story is amazing because, you know, he is one of the Christians in the Holy Land who left to find work. He moved to California, like I said, and he ended up marrying his wife is Gosaina, like I said, and they met in Nazareth. They got married and they moved to the United States. And they lived there for a little while, but they missed their family. You know, they missed the family life. And so they moved back. And, you know, it was funny because he says at one point, he's like, you know, I would tell people that I'm from Nazareth. And they were like, what? You know, and he says, it's so funny. He goes, I figured out it was a special place. I'm like, you think?
You know? That was really cute.
So, yeah, he's really awesome. And he loves telling people about, you know, his town because it is an amazing place to live. And he is blessed. He, you know, he's constantly at the Basilica. In fact, every now and then I'm like, Habib, will you pray for me, you know, at our mother's house? And he's like, absolutely.
Oh,
so,
geez.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine that being my, and you actually said it the way I would have absolutely expressed that to him. I can't believe this is your church. Like, how does it feel to say this is your parish church?
Yeah. Can you imagine?
No, not at all. It's just amazing. So I have some questions that I didn't there was a place you called the Little House.
Oh, the Edicul?
Yes, that was a cute little word. I said, actually, wrote my notes here. You used a fancier, really cute word for it.
it's really cute. It's Latin.
Well, it sounds really cute coming from you. So what is that location?
Okay. So at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is built over the site of Jesus's crucifixion and resurrection. Okay, mm-hmm. So in our first series, well, in our second series, in The Faithful Traveler in the Holy Land, we actually have an image that shows how St. Helena, Constantine's mother, went to the Holy Land and she found the site of Jesus's crucifixion and resurrection, and she had a church built over those two sites. And the church is huge, okay? So you can imagine, of course, they weren't really that far away, but the church is very big.
Yeah.
And so on the right is Calvary, which where Jesus was crucified, and over on the left is the tomb. Mm-hmm. Now the tomb is no longer a cave because the cave was cut away, but a small little house basically was built over the tomb, over the place where Jesus's body was placed.
Uh-huh.
And that is called the Edicul. It's AEDICULE, and in Latin it means little house.
Ah, thank you for explaining that.
You're welcome.
The other part that I thought was very interesting was you were on a part of the Western Wall, and the young man you were speaking with called it the FedEx section.
Yes, yeah, that was Yaniv Levy. We went to the City of David, and the City of David is an excavation site that it's adjacent to the Western Wall, some parts of it. And so we actually went underground, and we went to places of the Western Wall that have not been seen for centuries. And so when we were talking to Yaniv, he says, He says, oh, you know where, he says, you know where Pope Francis and everybody else puts their little prayers in the wall, because that's a tradition that, that people put prayers in the wall. They tuck them into the wall. He said, this is FedEx. Because he said, basically because nobody comes here and, you know, God hears these prayers louder.
He said, it's the same wall.
Yeah.
I love the way he did that. It was cute.
He's funny.
So what was one of your favorite memories or places from all of them that we haven't talked about yet?
It's hard to pick a favorite. I mean, picking a favorite place in the Holy Land is like picking a favorite saint, you know? It's just impossible. That
but
said,
we do have our go-to place. Like, you know, I have my posse, so...
Yeah, yeah, it's true. I mean, the Sea of Galilee is always great, but we didn't really cover that on this trip. On this trip, I think one of my favorite places was the Mahana Yehuda Market, which is one of the markets that's in Jerusalem that we got to go visit. It's very beautiful, and it's a colorful place, and it's a great opportunity to meet the people. You know, the people of the Holy Land are called the Living Stones by people because they carry the history of the Holy Land in their blood. You know, and so when you hear them talk, you know, it's like it's reminiscent of, you know, of Jesus and the people who lived in Jesus's time. And so, you know, I mean, Jesus was not an American, you know, he didn't look like us. He looks like them, you know. So it's nice to go back and just kind of see a little history in their faces. And it brings the Holy Land home to you. You know, it makes it more personal. So when I'm praying for peace in the Holy Land, it's not just this vague concept. It's Jesus, bring peace to the Holy Land for my friend Habib and for Father Nabil and for Yaniv and for Lisa Moed, you know, all of my friends who I love in the Holy Land, for my friend Ike, who was our tour guide. And just, I love these people and I want them to be safe. And I want these sacred sites to be safe for people to see them. And so it's much more meaningful for me to pray to the Holy Land because there are people that I love there.
Another book that we featured here, I featured here, was Marge Fenelon's book, The Our Lady Undoer of Knots. And she was she part of that same
She was.
Tour
Marge, there? Yeah, Marge and Denise were part of a Catholic news agency group of journalists that were sponsored by the Israel Ministry of Tourism to go out and to cover parts of the Pope's pilgrimage. So we were also sponsored. Our Jerusalem part of our trip was sponsored by the Israel Ministry of Tourism. And so, you know, they helped us basically get out there. And so that was, I think that might have been where I met Marge too. Yeah, we met at the home of Shimon Peres.
And I'm pretty sure as I was watching, that I think she gets a little cameo.
She does. Do you remember where she was?
You were someplace eating again with more food, and there was a man playing music. It was under a big tent. I don't know the names of anything.
Yeah, that was in Jordan. There are two places where Denise is in there too. Marge is in. We were eating food in Jordan, and Marge is also the pilgrim walking up Mukawur, which is where St. John the Baptist was beheaded. I said to Marge, I was like, Marge, you walk. And it was so funny because Marge is afraid of heights. And she was like, I'm going to walk this mountain. And I was like, you go, girl. And I said, I'm going to film you. Okay. And she said, yes, because my children won't believe that I did it.
I
said, well, when they see my show, they will. So yeah, Denise was actually dipping her fingers in the River Jordan. And then Frank Weathers was on a camel with me at one point. There are a lot of places where I get pilgrims and I get some of our Catholic news agency, journalists.
Well, a couple moments of very godly jealousy as you were, you know, blessing yourself at different places. I was like, oh, but I know that you bring with you when you go lots of prayers. And I was one of the people who had sent you a prayer request. So I guess part of me was there with you, because that's one thing about pilgrimage that is very different from a trip, is that you bring people with you in prayer.
Let me tell you, when I was in the Holy Land last year in April, and I actually took some pilgrims, we stayed overnight at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is a privilege that I never thought that I would be able to do. And I sat on the floor in front of Calvary, and I read my list of prayers for people. So I said your name there at the foot of the cross. And I said the names of all my friends. And, you know, so, yeah, you were there with me, you know.
I got all verklempt. I'm going to pull myself together. That's just, I love our faith. It's so beautiful. Those Yeah. Those moments that you feel so connected. So thank you for doing that. That's beautiful. And thank you for reminding me of that moment. Well, believe it or not, we're at the end of our time together, which makes me sad. I mean, you'll have to come back again.
Anytime.
Maybe when you get the next one coming out is
Portugal.
Oh, and I am a Portuguese girl, so
there you go.
We totally need to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Again, my guest today has been Diana Von Glahn, the Faithful Traveler. Diana, where can we keep track of all the wonderful things that you are doing?
Just on our website, www.thefaithfultraveler.com. You can get links to all our social media, our blog, pictures, clips, all that fun stuff.
And of course, I will have links to all of it, including and most definitely the trailer for this new series of Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land, because everybody needs to hear you say, here's the Holy Land, and this is the Holy Land, and this is a camel.
Amen.
Thank you again, Diana.
Thank you, Allison.
Tune in tomorrow, March 17th, for a very special encore presentation with author Lisa Hendy as we talk about her Chime Travelers series featuring St. Patrick. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit BreadboxMedia.com.